Our focus has been the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God and the believer. We're going to begin reading Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded today of, oh, how much we need you. We need you, Lord, in the good times as well as the bad. We need you, Lord, in fighting the daily battles of this life and the attacks of Satan. We need you, Lord, in every aspect of our life, in our state, in our country, and in this world. Father, now open our eyes to your word. Give us understanding. Speak to us, Lord, through your word, that we may know you better, that we may grow in knowing you and apply the things that you teach us today in our daily life and walk with you. Lord, I pray for those in this service who are lost. Father, convict them of their sin. Draw them to you, O Lord, that today they will be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is such a wonderful book. But I want you to know it's more than a book by which you can know God, even though that is true. The more you know of the Bible, the more you're going to know God. But see, there comes a time, there comes a day when you have to take what you know from the Bible and apply it every day that you live. And that's the idea here that we're going to talk about today. This book, this Bible, is the handbook to spiritual warfare. And if you're going to fight, you better fight from the Word of God. Now, if you may say, "Well, Brother Doug, I'm not fighting." Listen, you're either under attack, you will be under attack, or you're coming out from attack, right? You need the Word of God. And for you to fight these battles that we have to fight, that you have to fight, number one, you must know the Word of God. Okay? You must know the Word of God. Now, in the text that we read, I want to point out something to you. Go back to Verse 3. And the devil said to him, if you are, pause. That word if is not a good translation. Every translator that I have read says that word should be since. And in my research, it should be since you are the Son of God. He's not questioning, are you the Son of God? He's saying, since you are the Son of God, this is what you should do. Now, I say every translator that I've read says it should be translated that way, but I've not found a translation that it is translated that way, okay? So I want you to understand, he's not questioning who he is. Listen, the demons know who he is. Satan knows who Jesus is. And he's saying, since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, Jesus, we know, at this point, has spent 40 days fasting. Now, 40 days is a long time to go without food. And during that 40 days, Jesus hasn't just been without food. He's been tempted, tested of Satan himself. This is a 40-day war going on. And we don't know everything he's faced so far, but what we're reading about today is kind of the pinnacle of temptation, the pinnacle of the test. And so, at the end of that 40 days, being without food, Jesus, it says, was hungry. That word hungry is not like we get hungry. You know, if I go past 12 o'clock, you get hungry, right? Amen. You can amen that. This hungry is a starvation type hunger. As a matter of fact, the word hungry literally means to long for. Yeah, have you ever longed for food? I don't long for food very often. I just eat because I like it, right? Jesus is at the point of starvation, even to the point of physical weakness. His body at this point has to be crying out, feed me, feed me, feed me. I've got to have something to eat or I'm going to revolt. Satan, at Jesus' point of vulnerability, says, since you're the Son of God, why are you going through all this? Since you're the Son of God, you could fix this on your own. Turn these stones into bread. And Jesus' first answer, he begins to respond to that with, it is written. It is written. You know what he's talking about there, right? He's talking about Scripture. Jesus is going to use Scripture to combat Satan. Right? He's not going to fight with him. He's not going to just be strong within himself. He's going to use Scripture to answer every challenge that Satan throws his way. Listen, Scripture's the best weapon you've got in daily life. Right? You want to fight. And if you look back and fail at your failures, right? We all have those times in life where we tripped and fell a little bit, right? But I can almost guarantee you the times that you failed were times that you did not use Scripture. Think about it. The times you failed, Scripture was most likely not involved. And here, Jesus says, it is written, he's relying on the Scripture because that's one of the greatest weapons a human being has as a believer. That's the thing that we can quote that Satan has to pay attention to. You can say, Satan, I don't like you. You know what Satan's going to say? I don't care. But when you throw Scripture at him, there's no response that he can respond with. And that's why we're told Psalms 119:11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? Have you done that? Listen, my greatest fear today is there's a lot of Christians going around. They've got a weapon, but they're not loaded. Right? If you're a gun person, you can relate to this. You can have the prettiest, the best gun that shoots the straightest, but if you don't put bullets in it, it's no good. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about get your ammunition. And you better have a daily time in the Word of God taking that ammunition to yourself, because Satan is not going to announce his attack. He's not going to say, "Hey, Doug, I'm going to attack you next Thursday." Or, "Hey, Doug, I'm going to attack you next month." He just hits you out of the blue. That's what he did to Jesus. Point B. You've got to be ready. The only way you can be ready is to know the Word of God. You've got to have Scripture you can fall back on. What are you going to do when somebody makes you mad next week? Well, most of you will say, "I'll give them a piece of my mind." Wrong answer, you fail. What does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. You finish that verse? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. How many of you have ever held on to anger more than a day? How many of you are carrying a grudge? You know, you're failing. You know why? Because you haven't went to the Scripture. You haven't fought these temptations of Satan when he says, "Yeah, look how wrong that person was. Look what they said to you. Look what they've done to you." That's right. I'm going to get them back too. No. You've got to have Scripture you can go to. What about the temptation of immorality, whatever that immorality may be? What are you going to do? How are you going to face it? "Well, Brother Doug, I'm just going to be strong." You're not strong enough. You do not have that kind of strength. What do? You go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee sexual immorality. Flee. Run. Get out. Listen, you can't dance with the devil and not smell like smoke. Okay? Get away. Run. That's Bible. What about fear? You ever have a fear problem? "Man, I'm just so concerned what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just so concerned of where this economy in the United States is going. I'm just so concerned of where the war is going." Listen. What do you do to combat that fear? One of my favorite combating fear verses. I know it's the old one, but it's Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, when you're afraid, listen, draw a Psalms 23 and start shooting. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Are you worried about, are you going to be able to meet the needs tomorrow? "God's your shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." You know, I promise you, you cannot quote Psalms 23 more than two or three times and not just be filled with an assurance and confidence that God's got it under control, that you just automatically feel better. But you've got to go to the Word to win the battle. That's what Satan's doing. He's going to the Word. You must know the Word. Number two, you must know how to apply the Word. Jesus said, "It is written." It's one thing to have it up here, but you've got to know how to put it into practice. You've got to know how to apply it. And Jesus is doing that. Look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Jesus is going to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. When Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone," this is where he's getting it. Of all books, he's quoting Deuteronomy. Have you ever read Deuteronomy? Second only to Numbers. But Jesus pulled the best out of it. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. God is speaking to Israel, and he said, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Now, what we did, we just gave you background for the Scripture that Jesus used. So He humbled you. God speaking to the children of Israel. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's where he drew the Scripture from. So you see, here's what you have to understand. Jesus isn't just throwing some verse out there. He's throwing a verse out there, a scripture that applies to the situation. Because when Satan says, you don't have to deal with this. Turn these stones into bread. You know what he's saying? In reality, he's saying, I don't really care. If God really loved you, you would not be hungry. You would not be suffering. If God really loved you, you would not be hurting right now. How many times have you heard that? I don't believe God loves me. If God loved me, this wouldn't happen. That's what he's saying. That's what Satan's accusing God of. But Jesus takes him over here and he says, listen, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. But to understand it, you've got to back up to verse 2 there, where Jesus says, there was a reason. There was a reason God let the children of Israel go hungry. You remember what they did? They were whining, complaining, oh, we're going to starve, we're going to starve, we're going to starve. So what did God do? God provided manna from heaven for them to eat. Had he not let them go hungry, they would never have understood, which they didn't learn the lesson very well, but they would never have understood that God provides for his children. Okay? That's the whole lesson there. And when he says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he's saying, I can have bread. That doesn't mean that I'm going to live. I don't need bread to live. I need the God who provides the bread to live. Because you see, you can eat one time, and guess what? What happens tomorrow? You're hungry again. Actually, what happens 3 hours from now? You're hungry again. But when you know that God is going to provide at just the right time, and just He's going to provide just exactly what you need, then you're filled with that trust and that confidence. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, He let Israel hunger to teach them. And He allowed Jesus to hunger so that Jesus could demonstrate His faithfulness to God, expecting God to provide for Him. And guess what? When you read the end of this story, over in the book of Matthew, when you read this, after Jesus passes all three of these temptations, do you remember what happens? The angels came and ministered to Him. You know, it does not say this specifically. I don't think I'm taking liberty here, but I'm sure the angels brought food. And I bet it was the really good stuff too. Jesus is telling Satan, no, I trust my Father. That's his response here as he uses the Word of God. Not only do you have to know the Word, you have to know how to apply the Word. You have to know how to stand on the Word. In verse 5 and 8, I want to go back and read that again in our text. The devil missed that one. So he says in verse 5, then the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God and Him only.'" The devil takes him up on a high mountain and lets him see the glory and all the power, all the authority of the world at the present and in the ages to come. And Satan says, "Bow to me. Worship me. And I'll give it to you." Interesting side note here. That word in verse 6, that phrase, "it has been delivered to me." It's an interesting word. That word "delivered" is the same form of the word that's used betrayed. When Judas betrayed Jesus, it's the same word. This idea of it being given to me, he's not saying somebody placed it into my care. What he's saying is, yeah, you created it, Jesus, but guess what? It was betrayed into my hands, and now I can do anything I want to do with it, Jesus, because it's mine. It's kind of a rub it in your nose kind of thing that Satan is doing here. You may think, wait a minute, Jesus is the Son of God. This is not a temptation. He's going to come back and He's going to take the earth. But wait. When Satan says, "I can give it to whomever I will," and he can. Matter of fact, he's going to give it to the Antichrist one of these days. Right? But for Jesus, had he said, "Oh, I can do that," you know what it would have meant to Jesus? It would have meant no putting up with disciples that didn't get it for 3 years. It would have meant no trial standing before Pilate. It would have meant no whipping, no cat of nine tails that would tear the flesh of his back. It would have meant no crown of thorns, no nails nailing him to a cross. It would have meant no dying, no spear in the side. It would have meant, "Here you go, it's all yours." Jesus at that point could have made the excuse, "Well, you know, I can do this and not really mean it." I mean, that's what Christians do today, right? "Well, I'll give up my faith, but I don't really mean it." Look at Jesus' response once again. "Get thee behind me, Satan." You ever wonder why he's saying that? "Get thee behind me," or "get behind me, Satan." It's written, "You should worship God only." Satan's caused all of this glory and all the kingdoms and the power and the authority to pass in front of Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, "Get your junk away from me. I'm not going to follow, or I'm not going to fall for the allurement of the world. Get it behind. I don't even want to see it. Get it away from me." I'm going to tell you something. The more you look, the more you long. The more you look, the more you long for it. Whatever you fix your vision on, whatever you let Satan set in front of you and be the driving force of your life, reaching for that, the longer it sits there, the more tempted you're going to be. What am I saying? Tell Satan, "Put it behind me. I don't want your world. I don't want your world, Satan." That's what Jesus is saying. Second thing he's saying, "You shall worship the Lord God only." He's referring back again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Look there with me if you would. I want to read several verses there so you get the whole history of what he's saying. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses of all good things and which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware." Does it sound familiar? Well, keep your finger here. We're going to go back. But does that sound familiar? Satan says, it's all yours. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to endure it. It's all yours. Verse 12. "Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. For you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him." That word "serve" is to worship, right? "And serve Him," or worship Him, "and shall take oaths in His name." See, God gave that command because He knew when Israel would see the gods of the world that they would be drawn into the world religious system. Let me, they had some nasty gods back then. They had gods that would that you sacrificed your children for. Some of you perk up. Say, oh yeah, that's... How crazy is that? They had gods. They had temple prostitutes. How crazy is that? Ungodly. You know, this was the gods of the world. Any sinful thing that man could dream up, they would make a god to it. So you could do whatever you wanted to do and say, that's in honor of that god. Jesus knew Israel would be tempted by it. Now, Satan is waving it in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, get it behind me. I don't want any part of your system. I know the Father and His system will win. Let me share something. See, the temptation for us today is to see all that Satan has to offer. All you got to do is give up your God. Give up your God. Well, you know, I can't go to church because, and you fill in the blank. Satan has offered you something, says, give up your God. Well, you know, I can't be active in church because Satan's offered you something, says, give up your God. My challenge to you this morning is say, get behind me, Satan, and take your ungodly world with you. I don't want any part of it. Yeah, Jesus is going to have to pay for this world. He created it. He paid for it with His own precious blood. And it's going to be difficult. But because Jesus was willing to say, get behind me, Satan, my sin was paid for on the cross of Calvary. And because Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, He rose from the grave. And because He lives, I too shall live. Yeah, the price was high, but Jesus said it's worth it. Don't fall for what Satan has to offer. Because he never delivers on his promise. Not the way he promises. Well, he'll promise the world, and he'll deliver hell. Last thing. You must recognize abuse of the word. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, wait a minute. Who's talking? Satan. Satan's talking here, right? Are you serious? Satan says, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan using Scripture? Absolutely. Satan knows what's in here. Satan knows what's in here. And he will do his best to use it against you. But he doesn't use it right. You see, he'll take bits and pieces from here and there. And then he'll try to apply it the way he wants it to work. And I'll give you a spiritual truth. Okay? If you isolate verses from their context or out of their context, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Right? That's why today, you know, when we went back to the book of Deuteronomy, I included more scripture so you'd understand why Jesus said what he said. So that it'd make sense. But there are a lot of cults out there today that will just, you know, pick this verse over here. Pick this verse over there. And make it say what they want it to say. Listen, don't just stop at one verse. Don't do it. Read before and after. Find out why it was said. Find out what it was response to. The reason that it was said. And how it applies. Otherwise, you're going to apply it wrong. Actually, Satan is quoting Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. Turn over there with me, if you would. Okay? Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. Satan is quoting this to Jesus. Doesn't it seem kind of ironic that Satan's quoting something to Jesus, the Son of God, who is the Word of God? But he is. Verse 11, Psalms 91 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Oh, wait a minute. Back over in Luke, Satan said that it's written, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you." But in Psalms 91, it actually reads, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." What's the big difference there? Well, the big difference is that phrase, "all your ways." It's connected with the idea of duty. That the angels will keep charge over you in all your duties. He's saying what God was saying when he said that in the book of Psalms is, listen, you came here for a purpose, and I'm going to give you everything that you need and protect you and provide for you so you can do what you came here to do, which is be the sacrifice for you and me. Nowhere does God say, listen, you can jump off the highest cliff, you can step in front of a truck, or I guess in that day it would have been a pack of wild oxen, you know, and you just throw your life to the wind. Nowhere did Jesus say that. You know, I've heard of people that would actually, well, there was a preacher one time I met that he was convinced that God wasn't going to ever let anything happen to him, so he stepped off a 3-story building because he was sure God would catch him. God did catch him. It was called the concrete below that he caught him with. Almost killed him. And then the light came on. And when the light came on, he said, oh, wait a minute. That's not Scripture. He's right. Listen, don't take bits and pieces of verses and try to apply them. And don't listen to anybody that does. Okay? Jesus' response, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus is again, he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Or 14 through 16. Again, God's dealing with Israel. He said, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Now, he said, here's the thing. You don't go after these other gods because I'm a jealous God. And if you go after these other gods, I'm going to destroy you off the face of the earth. Right? I'm going to destroy you. Now, here's the question. Am I going to believe God or am I not? That's the whole question, right? Then in verse 13, he sums it up. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. And verse 16, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. The temptation meaning, am I going to believe God? Will God really do what He says? Or will He not? There God told Israel, if you have other gods, if you put other gods before me, you've got to know I'm a jealous God and I'm not going to put up with it. I'll destroy you, God said. Now, Israel has to decide, am I going to believe Him? Am I going to believe God at what He says? Of course, they didn't. And they took other gods. And what happened? They paid a heavy price for it. Now, they made God prove what He said. Jesus has the promise of God that we read about in Psalms 91. It says, you know, I'll give angels charge to keep you in all your ways and all your duties. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you so you can do what I sent you here to do. Now, if Jesus were to back up and say, hey, Satan, watch this. I'm going to jump off. He's tempting God. Will God take care of him? Why would you do that? Be somewhat similar to me saying, I'm called of God. And I am. Right? God has called me to the ministry. But because God has called me to the ministry, He's going to protect me and I'm going to go out and I'm going to run right down the middle of Interstate 40 opposite all coming traffic because God will protect me and I'm going to do it just to show everybody that my God is real. Now that would be dumb, wouldn't it? That would be just plain silly. Why would you want to do that? Now, do I believe God will protect me? I do. Right? I think I'm allotted. A number of my days on this earth are numbered. And I think when I reach the end of that number, God's going to call me home. But until that time, I think God's going to provide and help me to be able to do what He called me here to do. Jesus had the promise of God's care. And to listen to Satan's challenge would be saying, God, I don't believe you're going to do what you said you did or you're going to do. Last thing I want you to know about this. God wants to be trusted, not tested. Here's the application. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Okay, doesn't make any ands, buts, ifs, maybes, possibilities. It says whosoever. Right? Now, do you believe what God said? All right. You know, there are people who just don't quite believe what God said in that they think they're just a little bit too bad. No. No. That's saying, God, you're not going to do what you said you'd do. You know, I've seen sometimes, have you ever doubted your salvation? I think that's one of the great tools of Satan. Because we're told, if we believe in Him, we shall not perish. You realize that's a done deal, right? It's a done deal. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that some people have made a false profession sometime in the past. They walked down an aisle because other kids were walked down. That's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about people who go back to the day and the time. They know they gave their life to Jesus Christ. But then there's that little doubt. Did I do it right? Did I do it right? Let me give you some insight there. No, you did it wrong. That was the problem. What do you mean, Brother Doug? It's not about what you did. It's about what Jesus did. You call, He saves. There's not some kind of hidden formula where you got to walk down the aisle. You got to get on your knees. You know, some people were saved at home. Some people were saved in church. Some people were saved at church camp. Some people were saved at revivals. But they were all saved the same way. They called and Jesus saved. Right? But if you're here today and you've been putting off salvation, you're saying, I don't really believe that God's going to do what He says He'll do, which is eternity in hell. You may be here today and you've been facing the attacks of Satan. Listen, you got to get in the Word. But not only do you get on the Word, and again, I'm going to bring this up in the interest of repeating myself. There are two things we got to have. We got to have a strong prayer life and we got to have a strong Bible life. Right? The altar is going to be open for you. You just need help from above. If you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, our staff, and just you're going to have a couple of songs in closing of the service, and our staff's going to be up front waiting to help you. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. We can lead you to Jesus as your Savior. We can give you counsel. But we can't do those things if you don't come. So in these closing two songs, we're going to ask you, will you come? Will you listen to Jesus? Will you believe Jesus? And will you surrender to Jesus? Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for the day. I thank You for Your Word that is so powerful. Lord, we forget we're not fighting this battle on our own power, but rather by Your power. And one of the greatest weapons we have is Your Word. Help us to commit Your Word to our minds and our hearts so that when we are tested, we are ready to stand with Scripture. Father, I pray in this invitation, You knowing the hearts of everyone present, Heavenly Father, I pray for all those in this service who do not know You for salvation, that today will be the day that they call upon You. That every spiritual need in this auditorium today will be answered. And that answer will draw all men to You. Lord, we commend this invitation into Your hands. Pray that You'd glorify Your name. In Jesus' name I pray.